you true believers, it's that time you've been waiting for. Gather around your iPod, radio, or whatever you're listening to, for Mitch and John are about to go into the power cosmic. Sit back and listen to comic books, toys, movies, and more with those two guys that've got nothing better to do but talk about the stuff that you love. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, wake the neighbors, phone the kids. It's time for the Power Cosmic Podcast.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Power Cosmic Podcast, the only podcast produced by the world's greatest Comic-Con producer, Mitchell A. Halleck of Terrific-Con, happening this August 18th to the 20th at the Mohegan Sun in lovely Uncasville, Connecticut. Get your tickets now for the greatest show on earth. Now, joining me all the way from Massachusetts, the birthplace of American democracy. You know him, you love him. Direct from the Random Flea Market, booth 89 and 90. A89 and 90. The man who writes for Back Issue Magazine, Alter Ego, and the Kirby Collector. The finder of lost things that you never knew you wanted, but you have to have now. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Big Bones John Cimino.
What's going on, everybody?
Oh, John, I'm all full of, I don't know, I was going to say piss and vinegar, but that sounds disgusting. I'm just full of the power cosmic, Johnny.
And you sound it, Mitch. I like that. Oh. Maybe lots going on. A lot of stuff happening. What's going on?
Yeah, well, John, you know, this week is it's full of wonder because it's also full of Wonder Woman. Dun-dun-dun-dun. You like that?
Yeah, I'm going to go to probably going to go to the matinee with my daughter, so it's going to be fun.
All right, well, let's talk about that, John, because you and I were originally going to do Memorial Day, but that's a little bit of a downer. So I'm going to talk about the Princess of Power, all the way from Theramascia, whatever how you say that island.
Yeah, mascara, right?
Yeah, something about mascara, Theramascara. I don't know. So let's talk about it. She's created by William Marston? I never get it right.
Wilton Marston, yes. The guy who invented the lie detector.
Yeah, and he was a bit of a super freak back in the day. He was a psychologist.
Oh, freak,
he was into free love, and he was into getting it on.
Yeah, that was a big part of the lie detector. He used to love to go and, like, you know, with the women and all. He was like a horny SOP.
Yeah, man, he had a wife and he had a living lover, and he was all into that open marriage and such. So the story goes, died at a very young age, but with a big smile on his face, I hear, huh?
Yeah, and the one that was the living one, she wore the bracelets. She also she wore those bracelets. Kind of Wonder Woman was kind of based on her, though, the girlfriend, the living one.
Okay, well, you know, enough about the man's personal life. Let's get into the comic itself. We're talking Sensation. Is it Sensational Comics number one?
No, Sensational Comics number 5, I think it was.
Oh, she wasn't even the headliner, huh?
Yeah, she was a backup story.
Oh, really?
What's the matter? You didn't know that? And then I think she did I'm not a Wonder Woman historian, aficionado, but then I think she had a few issues in that, and then Wonder Woman number 1 came out.
Well, you know, Johnny, was there any other female heroines back in the day? Was the Blonde Phantom there? Who else was there?
Was there anybody? Nobody probably worth mentioning, but Wonder Woman is pretty interesting in the sense that, I don't know if you know this, but I think it's Wonder Woman 23 in the, I think 1941, one of those 40s. That was the first time ever that all villains got together in a group to kill Wonder Woman. That was the first time ever a group of villains got together, became a group. I forget what the name of the war was that they became, and they wanted to fight Wonder Woman. That's pretty interesting.
Well, it was a super villain team up, huh? It was a precursor.
Yeah, and I think they were all her villains, and they all came together. Cheetah was one of them. Giganta was another. There was a few of them there, but they all got together to off Wonder Woman.
Now, John, I mean, there's different versions of Wonder Woman over the years. In the 60s, they had a new Wonder Woman. They said, you know what? She doesn't need those powers and all this thing. They made her a more modern, liberated woman. They got rid of the bathing suit that she'd been known for, and they put her in basically a pantsuit. From head to toe, she was covered up.
Yeah, and she had a little, remember she had a little master, was a little Asian guy?
Yeah, but the thing is, they turned her in more of, at the time, the Avengers was a very popular show on TV. That had a character named Emma Peel. She wore like a cat suit. She was a secret agent type of character. And I think that's what they were going with this new Wonder Woman. Is that not correct, Johnny?
That's correct. And that was done by Dennis O'Neill. It was him. He did it. Danny O'Neill.
Danny O'Neill of Batman fame came
to... And he got killed for that because he basically depowered like a powerful woman. And he always said that that was one of his biggest mistakes. And he still gets tickled for it.
Well, you know, and then it was until, I don't know whether her return to the bathing suit was, but she did soon become the cover person of Ms. Magazine by feminist Gloria Steinem. Issue 1 had a Wonder Woman on the cover. Did DC soon recant their previous interpretation and bring Wonder Woman back into the fold as the traditional bathing suit wearing superheroine?
Yeah, it's funny you say that because I was actually just talking about that today, about her preparing on that. What was it called, the magazine?
Ms. Magazine.
Yeah, and that's what Wonder Woman in her full attire and stuff.
Yes. So go on, what about it? Somebody brought one of those in?
No, we were talking about it because, I'll tell you why. Because we were talking about how, like, the feminists, the feminist group was upset about the shaved armpits of Gal Gadot.
Oh, I think I heard something about that
this week. This is what I didn't know. Let me throw this at you, then you can throw some stuff back at me. Gal Gadot, she does not shave her armpits. She just doesn't do that in real life.
Okay.
And so they were upset because when she was doing the Wonder Woman, that scene where she's lifting up her arms, they were upset that she shaved her armpits, and that Wonder Woman wouldn't have shaved her armpits because she's an Amazon, and she would have had the hairy armpits. So the feminists out there got really upset about that. But I mean, if you look at the character, she never had hairy armpits. I don't know.
No, she never did.
That was kind of a big deal.
Well, I would just lump this under one of those internet armpit controversies that I don't think really most people will remember tomorrow. So
no, I know, but everybody's got to complain about something. Because
don't
you remember when Gal Gadot got the part? Everybody's complaining that she's not big enough.
Yeah, she
now
was
they
too,
love her.
She was too
now
short.
Now all of a sudden it's the armpit here. Look at
it. Whatever. So then let's talk about, now I remember Wonder Woman from being on the Super Friends. I remember her being on there. She had an invisible jet. Do you remember that?
Yes. Speaking of Super Friends, is she the last one that's alive?
The voiceover actress. Yeah, you're right. Because
the last one.
If you count Marvin, the little nerdy guy, he's still alive, I believe.
Marvin. Is he still alive?
Yeah, I do believe he's a Fred, I can't think of his last name, Meeker, or whatever. He does a lot of voiceover. But no, going back, do you know anything about this invisible plane? What was that all about? Do you have any knowledge of this?
The invisible jet, how she got it?
Yeah, why?
Well, I mean, I know how she got it I hate to say this, I can't remember how she got it in the history. I think she got it because when they gave her the weapons, they gave her the lasso, they gave her the bracelets, and I think the Amazons gave her the plane. I think that was part of it. I could be wrong, but I think that was part of it.
Well, is that because, was that an answer to the fact that Superman could fly and they wanted her to fly? Was she always?
It could be. I hate to say this, Mitch, but
you're not a Wonder Woman expert. I understand, though, John, but let's just talk about this idea of an invisible airplane. Has to be one of the most ludicrous ideas I've ever heard of in my life.
Well, how can it be? You can't even see it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. We just take it for granted. We're comic book nerds, and we go, oh, yeah, of course she has an invisible airplane. Why wouldn't she?
I think his idea was to give her gadgets too. I mean, Batman had the gadgets, Superman had the strength, and maybe in his mind was to make her kind of cool and hip, you know, for girls.
Yeah, but it's an invisible. Think about this. It's an invisible airplane. How do you see where you're going? How do you see to get on board? How do you put the fuel in it? Does it need fuel? Where's the landing gear?
We don't ask those questions. Those are questions you just don't ask.
I asked, John. This is the Power Cosmic. We want the truth.
Well, somebody's going to have to write. You know, when we put this up and we get our messages, somebody better, I'm sure we're making a lot of mistakes here, but maybe somebody can tell us.
Oh, all I know is Scott Martin is hard at work right now typing up a response on Facebook and telling us what we're getting wrong this week in our history of Wonder Woman. All right.
We do know that there's a lot of bondage and other issues.
Oh, in fact,
a lot of bondage.
Now, didn't he lose his job because of that? Because the books were a little too suggestive?
I think so. Here's something about Marston that people don't really know. He was the first legitimate writer to ever work in comic books because he did write a couple of things. I know he wrote in magazines and he did have a couple of books and novels and stuff. He was the first legit novelist to ever write in comics.
Oh, well, you know, like I said, the man was a doctor. He was a psychiatrist from what I remember. And, you know.
Yeah, I think that's good. You know what I'm waiting for, Mitch? I'm waiting for Wonder Woman 77 to team up with Batman 66.
John, they already have that.
I saw the Bionic Woman, but do they have Linda Carter and their Adam? Together now?
They have Linda Carter, Bionic Woman meets Wonder Woman. I think I picked up Batman 66 and Wonder Woman 77.
Really?
And what I said is, why not do Superman 55? Because then you can get the George Reeves character, you know?
Yeah, I think that would be, and you don't want to know another thing? They're all in the three decades, 50, 60.
That's
70.
Why I said Batman 55. And the other one would be, unfortunately, too bad Batman Keaton came out in 89, but wouldn't that be a nice combo, huh?
Yeah, and if you want to throw that Keaton in there, throw Superman 78.
Oh, Superman 78 meets Batman 89. Yeah, I said that to Kevin Smith last year or the year before. We were on a bus together, and it was 2 years ago, and I was telling him about that. He said it was a good idea, but nothing's ever happened to it. But, okay, going back to Wonder Woman, when I was a kid, besides the Super Friends, there was a movie of the week. They used to have these all the time back then. There was no cable TV movies or Netflix. So they would have like the ABC Saturday night movie or Sunday night movie. They had a Wonder Woman movie. And she was played by Kathy Lee Crosby. And I don't know, I know you're younger than me, but Kathy Lee Crosby was a tennis pro. And she was also famous for being on a show called That's Incredible, where they used to show like stuntmen and, you know, people that could do stuff. Do you remember anything about the show That's Incredible?
Yeah, I did see, when I was a kid, obviously that was a little before my time, but when I got into the Wonder Woman with the Linda Carter stuff, and years later I found out that there was another movie, which is the one you're talking about, the movie of the week, and I was just like, that looks terrible. I mean,
oh, it's a bad movie. Even when I saw it back then, I was watching, I go, hey, how come she's not wearing the outfit? Because she wore almost like a polyester stewardess outfit, it looked like, you know?
And you actually saw that when it aired, Mitch? You saw it when it aired?
Yeah, no, I watched it when it came on. I think it was on in 1974. I might have been like 7 or 8 years old. And it was horrible. It was a bad movie. I mean, even as a kid, not, you know, having a delicate palate when it came to comic book movies, but you could tell it was a piece of crap. And Ricardo Montalban, who from...
Yeah, he was way off on the superhero stuff. I mean, even if you look at that time, Captain America,
let's not go there. Oh, you're talking about the...
No, but I'm just saying, for some reason, they were so far off. But the Linda Carter stuff was actually pretty good.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So they did the Kathy Lee Crosby thing, and they had Ricardo Montalban from, you know, Fantasy Island and Wrath of Khan. He was the bad guy. Now, the thing of it is, it was a crappy movie, but it actually did well in the ratings because I think Wonder Woman obviously had a lot of fans. So what happened is they brought it back a year later, but they recast it with obviously Linda Carter, who I think was only 24 years old. She was very young. And then they set it in World War II, and they did the show that you're talking about now that ran for several seasons. I believe it was on ABC, and then it switched networks maybe. To CBS?
Didn't the Wonder Woman series, like, I know she was in World War One.
No, she was in World War Two on the show, yeah.
But in the first season, but didn't the next season she just happen to be in regular time?
Yeah, they advanced it, and Steve Trevor, her boyfriend, who was played by Lyle Waggoner, who used to be on the Carol Burnett show, who was also one of the first guys to audition for the Batman TV show, but lost it to Adam West.
I
think he played Steve Trevor's son, and then he was still going Wonder Woman.
Is that how it turned out, Steve?
Yeah. I think they just said, oh, that she was dating the dad during World War II, and now she's going out with the son, which is kind of also weird, but, you know, that's...
I did like how they gave her different suits, you know, when she went into the water, like she had the...
Another one. But that was more true to the comics. I mean, she had the invisible jet, she had the powers,
yeah.
She came from Paradise Island, they called it. They didn't have this other funky name. And then you also had Deborah Winger, who comes on years later, who's from the movie Officer and Gentleman, as Wonder Girl.
She was an Officer and a Gentleman, correct?
Yeah, but she was also Wonder Girl on that show, so they even had that, you know?
If you look back on it, if you're a Wonder Woman fan, that had to be cool, because that was more true to the comics than anything else that was ever seen.
Oh, at that time, yeah, because Spider-Man was a joke. Batman was satire. Nothing was ever that realistic, as you know. And they
had
this.
Marvel was kind of. It was okay. Captain Marvel was.
Yeah, they had Shazam on. Yeah, we got to talk about that one day. That's another weird thing from the '70s. Shazam.
The
old guy torn the country.
Driving around in a Winnebago.
In a Winnebago Mentor. He never had a name. His name was just Mentor. I was like, what the hell is that?
Mentos.
I always think of that when I see Mentos, the things.
Mentor.
And then, so Wonder Woman's on TV. She's got the show. The show goes off the air. In the comic books, though, she's still plugging along at DC. And then I do believe our good friend Roy Thomas's wife comes into play now in the early 80s as the very first female writer on the Wonder Woman book. Is that not correct, John?
Female writer that was credited.
Oh.
That was ever credited. I think that she got, Roy told me that, I can't remember the name, but she was predated by another, some writers, but they were never credited. She was the very first woman ever credited. As a woman writer ever credited.
That would be issue 300 of Wonder Woman, and in I was looking at, there's a Wonder Woman timeline here. Real quick, some of the things we already mentioned. Did you know, we skipped over this, Wonder Woman was supposed to be the leader, Marston wanted her to be the leader of the All-Star Squadron, the Justice League's, you know, the Justice Society back in 1942. Unfortunately, because women's rights were not so prevalent, she was reduced to being their secretary.
That's pretty.
In 1954, again from the Wonder Woman timeline here, Dr. Frederick Wortham, we all know him from Seduction of the Innocent fame, he warned parents about the Wonder Woman character because she is a lesbian and. Yeah, warn parents about her lesbian traits. So there's another weird thing going on.
Lesbian traits, huh?
Yeah, and then like I said, 1968, controversial move, stripped her of her powers and put her in a modern-dressed secret agent role. 1972, we already said it, she was on the cover of Ms. Magazine. 1975 to 79 was on TV. 77, she was the first underoos, girls' underwear, that's fun to wear, underoos. You have those on right now, don't you, John?
The Wonder Woman ones? You want to know the truth? I did buy them. I did buy them from my daughter years ago. I did buy them, and
What happened?
No, I did buy them. I actually bought them for $50. They were sealed, and I bought them for him. We opened them up, and those are actually pretty cool. I mean, she really liked those. They actually, the detail on those were pretty cool.
I do believe Ming Chen wore those on an episode of Comic Book Men. I'm not kidding you.
Poor Ming.
No, I think Ming wore those, so I'll have to double check it. Okay, back to the Wonder Woman timeline. Now I'm starting to remember a lot of this. 1987, illustrator George Perez, who was supposed to come to this year's show but unfortunately got sick, had relaunched Wonder Woman with a new version of it that involved a lot of Greek mythology. Now this is where some of this Theramaskia, did I say it right?
Yes.
That's where that comes into play. And we find out that Wonder Woman is actually made of clay. Her mother created her out of clay.
The blood, right? There's clay in the blood?
Yeah. So that's where that stuff starts to come around. And, that was the new version of Wonder Woman. I picked up a bunch of those books. I remember that one there. And I think John Byrne actually worked on that title at one point, too. I'm trying to remember back, you know. I got to admit it, and whoever's listening to this, you and I are really struggling with this because I was never a Wonder Woman fan. I did pick up the Perez ones, but I never really went beyond that, you know?
Me either, and I'm going to tell you this. Wonder Woman was never my favorite woman character, woman superhero. My favorite woman character was, I loved Thundra, Roy Thomas character, and another Roy Thomas character I always liked. I liked Valkyrie. I liked Valkyrie better than Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman was never really my favorite. And if I have to jump to DC, my favorite DC heroine/hero character, I loved Huntress.
Huntress, created by Joe Staton and, he's been to my show.
Yeah, Marvel Origins. I remember that issue.
Oh, I'm trying. Who's the writer, though? I had both of them at my show. I can't remember who it is. I know Joe Staton worked on it, and maybe it's Keith Giffen, maybe? I don't know.
So Wonder Woman was always there, but I always kind of, she was just there. But I'll have to admit, I think it's awesome that right now she is the hottest thing for DC in the world. And I think she's rightly deserving of that because, let's just be honest, she's part of the Trinity. She was always behind Superman and Batman, but now she's in front of them. She's actually more popular than them right now, more hotter right now.
I hear you that. I'm just going to do real quick. 2010, writer J. Michael Straczynski and artist Jim Lee reboot the Princess origin story with Wonder Woman, raising her in human society and giving her pants. So there's something for you. 2011, there was an NBC trying to make a brand new Wonder Woman TV show starring Adrian Palicki, who was also on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as Mockingbird. That show never hit. They made a pilot. It never went beyond that. And then, of course, 2016, has it been that long already? She appeared in the major big movie screen Superman versus Batman, played by Gal Gadot. And that brings it here. That was the best thing in that movie, right?
Well, yes, but let's be honest. The biggest thing about that movie was her.
Yeah.
Everybody loved her. And no matter, I know that that's get mixed reviews, and people will love it, people will hate it, whatever, but everybody will say it, but that Wonder Woman part was unbelievable, and it was.
Yeah, no, and now here we are on the eve of a brand new Wonder Woman movie about to hit. I'll be seeing it on Thursday. You're going to see it with your daughter this week. I'll be on their local radio station, Chaz and AJ show. What do you call it?
Mike and Ike.
The Mike and Ike show, as John refers to it. I'll be reviewing Wonder Woman unless something happens. I should be on Friday. But let's talk real quick about some other Wonder Woman stuff. What is a hot collectible when it comes to the world of Wonder Woman? What do people look for out there?
Well, you know, it's funny. Wonder Woman didn't really have much merchandise in the 40s or 50s. I mean, or even in the 60s. I mean, her merchandise kind of went into, prominence in the 70s, when all those 70s, all those superhero toys were coming out. But her Mego figure, here's some interesting toy lore. Her Mego figure, which was boxed, it could be found in America, but her carded figure was only distributed. I think it was overseas or something. It was in there's only three known on the card, and they can sell anywhere between $15,000 to $25,000. the Wonder Woman Mego figure on the card. Because, like I said, I think they were only in Europe or something, but there's only three known. So that's something that I think that, if I'm not, I might be wrong here, but I think the Mego figure was her first action figure.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, didn't they make a Superpowers version of her?
Yeah, but the Superpowers one came out in 80. They came in 85, 83 to 85. The Mego figure was 1974, 75.
Well, what about comic books? What's a Wonder Woman issue one go for? What's the most valuable one out there?
Well, yeah, let's be honest. That Wonder Woman, the Wonder Woman is hot as a mofo, especially right now, and it's selling like crazy. Now, I mean, okay, we're going to say a high-end comic, a Wonder Woman, you're talking 250,000, maybe more now, but probably even 400,000. If you get, I mean, it's just, especially those key issues are crazy. Now, Wonder Woman number one or Sensational number five?
I don't know. I'm asking you what's the hottest thing.
Either way, Mitch, we got to put our house up for it, and probably ain't going to still be enough.
Well, there is the Wonder Woman collectors.com. I just jumped on it real quick to see what's the most valuable stuff here.
And just to throw this out at you, there's also the Wonder Woman Museum. Isn't it at a relative house?
Yeah, it's actually right up the street from me in Connecticut. I've had the good fortune of meeting Mr. Marston's his son, Owen, who I think he just passed away. And
his granddaughter,
Christy,
right?
Yeah, they've come to the shows I produced here in Connecticut. They were at the Trumbull Show back in 2012 and 13. Then they were at the one in Bridgeport. And I do believe they came down to Mohegan in the last couple of years. But, yeah, no,
Do they do private tours at that museum?
It's in their house. Yeah, basically, they have it.
I know that because I saw pictures of Linda Carter there, and they took a lot of pictures with her. And but I don't know if that museum is open to the public or anything. Yes, I know it's in their house, but it's everything. They get sent every Wonder Woman item.
Yeah,
go to them. They get a little piece because it's part of the Marston deal and all that stuff.
Yeah. They do have a bunch of stuff. I'm looking at some of the things they have on their site right now that you can get. There is a lot of new merchandise. I saw a Wonder Woman 20-inch plastic figure the other day when I was at Walmart that they were selling. There's a lot of that stuff out there. You know, sadly, like you said, like when I was a kid, I did not have a Mego Wonder Woman figure because, you know, they're like, why do you have a girl, a doll? For,
it just always was there. I mean, we were boys. The girls were for sissies. The girl stuff were for sissies. But Wonder Woman was just always there. It's not that I never respected Wonder Woman. It's just the fact that, you know, we loved our... I was a boy. I loved the Hulk. I loved Spider-Man. I wanted Batman. You know, I wanted Submariner. You know, Wonder Woman was always part of the clique, but it's just like, meh.
Yeah, it's one of those things. Now, who would you say, is there a Marvel equivalent to Wonder Woman?
Well, I think if you're going to look at that, you would think She-Hulk, correct?
Oh, you think so?
Well, they always kind of compare them. I mean, in the 90s when they had the crossover, obviously they put Storm, because Storm was popular at that time, which I don't think should have any. And she beats Wonder Woman, but because the fans voted for her, they weren't going to vote for Wonder Woman. I mean, you got to remember, Storm was more popular than Wonder Woman in the 90s. The X-Men were it. But it should have been She-Hulk, and to this day they still kind of compare them. Because you got this liberated, strong, take charge woman, and smart. If you look at another like prominent Marvel female character, you got it. Now obviously they're pushing Captain Marvel, Roy's character, but prior to that, it was always She-Hulk. I would think what they're trying to do now is they're trying to make Captain Marvel the head honcho girl, and I'm pretty sure that's Marvel's trying to have them as their Wonder Woman, because the movie's coming out next year. She-Hulk is just a little too tied to the Hulk, you know? It's just a little too close.
By the way, I was looking up William Moulton Marston. He's actually from your neck of the woods. He was born in Massachusetts. He's from Saugus, Massachusetts.
Wow, Saugus.
He was born May 9th, 1893. And he died of skin cancer in May 2nd of 1947
at the tender age of 53. That's not too old.
And Mitch, let me throw this out about Marston. Yeah. People don't realize that, but he was one of the first guys to really say that comics should be taken seriously. And he did a lot of articles in magazines telling people like that comics are not just for kids, and the good that comics that can do for kids, and the positive stuff that it can make kids do. You know, so Marston doesn't get a lot of the credit that he deserves. Yes, he created Wonder Woman, but he was also one of those forefront fathers of pushing comics and saying that comics ain't bad.
Well, no, I'm also reading some of the inventions the man came up with. The systolic blood pressure machine that you use to get your blood pressure, he came up with that, and that's one of the things they use in a polygraph. So that's how he became part of the lie detector. So there you go. Yep. Look at that. Yep. It also says...
Let's throw it out there again. He was a sex machine.
No, stop. He was a self-help writer. He was an advocate for women's potential. He created Wonder Woman. He was an important contributor to DISC. And I'm going to look up what that is right now. DISC assessment is a behavior assessment by psychologists.
While you're looking that up, I just want to point out, like, he loved women. Not just, like, okay. You know, I'm joking around about the sexual thing, which okay. He was. Okay. But he loved to promote women and do, like, he was all for, like, women liberation and stuff. You know, he was
oh, yeah, no, absolutely, yeah. I mean, he empowered her to be just alongside men. Her. Yeah, I mean, at a time when that wasn't, you know, generally accepted, so.
Yeah.
So more power to him right there.
You got to give it to him. I mean, he's done a lot for comics that people just really don't know. And now that Wonder Woman is finally coming into the forefront, I hope people will go out there and learn more about him because he was a very interesting guy.
Yeah, you're right about the Olive Byrne was his girlfriend, if you want to call it. I'm reading that. She wore jewelry bracelets, and that inspired... The bronze bracelets. She wore heavy bronze bracelets that inspired Wonder Woman's bulletproof bracelets. You were right on that one.
Yeah, and he liked that, and you know, I'm sure he had many other girlfriends, but that one right there was a big part of his big part of the creation of Wonder Woman.
Yeah, he saw comic books as a great educational potential.
Good. See, I mean, if you think about it, he was one of the like, and he was a very respected writer and respected.
Oh, he's a Harvard University. He graduated at Harvard University. Yeah, yep. I mean, this guy was no slouch.
He was the shit. He really was.
He really was. So yeah, more power to him. Why do you think it's been so long for people to really accept a Wonder Woman character? Why isn't she?
Okay, I'll tell you exactly why. Predominantly, superheroes have been a bully. Boys like that stuff. Wonder Woman was always there, but let's just be honest. Boys, from the 50s, 60s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, and let's just say within the last 20 years, I'm going to say 10 years, that girls have really got into the on the superhero bandwagon and went. Now, I'm not saying that there wasn't girls, but it was just so dominated by men, but now it's a totally different world. So I'm thinking now the girls, the majority, are coming like, yes, Wonder Woman's our girl, and we're going to push her in. And now with Gal Gadot, everybody loves Gal, and she's so well-liked that that's where Wonder Woman is coming into
well,
the
yeah, no, I mean, but there's been a lot of female characters in the last 20, 30 years.
Mitch, I'm not saying that there hasn't
been. No, I'm just saying there's There's Elektra. I'm just thinking of the Marvel Universe. There's Elektra. There's Black Widow is a huge character right now in the Marvel cinematic world. We're, like you said, we're going to have Captain Marvel. Every single one of these movies seems to have a strong female character. Sue Storm has always been around. You know, Supergirl is a popular show on TV now every week. So, yeah, it's finally come around. So, it's not a boys' club.
I think it is. It's more universally loved. Like, even boys... think about this. Back in the day, you may have loved Wonder Woman, you may have collected Wonder Woman, but a lot of guys didn't really want maybe his friends to know that. So it was kind of like, but now today, it is so universally loved by men and women that I think Wonder Woman has taken her rightful place at the top. She's the top five heroes of all time, and you can put these any way you want. Spider-Man, Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, Wonder Woman right there. And who else? You would probably have to throw in Captain America, correct?
Oh, absolutely. I mean,
like of all time, and she's right there. And you would have to say Batman and Robin, because Robin is a legend, too. But I'm just saying, like, and she's really taking her rightful place at the top. Because she's the first. She's bigger than Supergirl. She's bigger than any other girl superhero. It's Wonder Woman. She should be leading the march, and now she is. And I'm happy about that.
All right, then. Well, we're going to wrap this one up here. We went overboard again.
Let me ask you a quick question before you go. I know Wonder Woman, Rotten Tomatoes, I don't ever care about the critics, but Rotten Tomatoes have been, I mean, it's getting incredible ratings, but it's going to be almost 3 hours long. I want to know, because your predictions are usually incorrect, but I love to hear them, what does Mitch give it? Is Mitch going to give it the five little Mitchies up, or... And I want to know what Mitchie thinks it's
going to
make in the weekend.
Oh, okay. Well, it's a World War One story, and I have to be brutally honest with you. That next to Westerns is my probably least exciting story line. I don't watch stories set in World War One. I just don't care about it. They've never been exciting to me when I see a movie based in World War One, because I think World War Two has all the gadgets, you know, the tanks, the planes, and all that, you know, Nazi stuff. So it always seemed more adventure story oriented, you know, like Raiders of the Lost Ark. So that's one thing I have a problem with. Two, it's a period piece. You want to see Wonder Woman nowadays. You want to see her with Batman and Superman, but this is back in the 1918, 1917 it's going to be. So there's a little bit of that, too. If it is 3 hours long, that's a problem. Anything over 2 hours and 20 minutes, little Mitchie starts getting anxious. I don't care what the movie is.
Little Mitchie gets hungry.
I think that's too long. No, I have my Raisinets to keep me company. I think it's going to be interesting to see, because there's never been a big female lead character in a movie like this. So I'm going to see how they handle it. I'm sure the action will be great. I'm sure the effects will be great. I don't like Chris Pine, the actor that's playing Steve Trevor. I don't care for him as Captain Kirk in Star Trek. I just not a big fan of his at all. I mean, no offense to the guy. I just don't think he's very heroic. I'm going to give it a Mitchie. Before I even see it, I hate to say it, I'm going to give it like a B probably. And I predict it's only going to make about $108 million opening weekend.
Okay. So we'll see. I want everybody to write that down. All
108. Uncle Mitchie says $108 million in the United States domestic box office for Wonder Woman this weekend. That's it.
Okay, and you give it three. Three little Mitchies up.
Three out of five Mitchies, and a B minus or so, or B or B minus, yeah.
And in next week?
Next week we'll see what I think of when I actually see it.
Then we'll see what we actually think. I think that's going
to
be good.
I'll tell you one thing. After this movie, another movie that they're making that I really don't care to see, Aquaman. Don't care. Don't want to see it.
You would rather have Submariner, correct?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I would want to see a Submariner movie, because Submariner movie is like more science fiction, you know? Aquaman just seems boring. I know Lou Perry's going to flip out, because he is the biggest Aquaman fan in the world. Lou Perry of Angry Geeks fame, if anybody listening to this wants to know who we're talking about, just go to theangrygeeks.com and you'll see the host of that show. He has more Aquaman memorabilia than anybody should be allowed to.
So you mean I can buy it with $5, right?
Oh my God, he has everything. And he even knew the names of the seahorses that they Aqualad and Aquaman rode, which I knew was kind of creepy.
I mean, you know, let's see what happens. I mean, I think this is gonna, everything is gonna, the DC universe now is gonna, I think the reason why it's so big, the movie's so long, everything depends on this movie. And I think it's gonna do it, because people want to love Gail, they want Wonder Woman to succeed. This is a big movie for DC, it really is. And I know you're saying it's a period piece, but we're going to get our whole history, and, you know, the effects are going to be good. I think it's going to do okay. You know, you're right. 3 hours is going to be kind of going to be tough, but if you fall into a movie, we'll see. We'll see. I'm going to see. Mickey gives it 3 Mickeys, and he says 108. Okay,
yeah.
We'll see.
All right, and how do we end every episode, John?
And that's that.
And that's that.
This has been a production of Big Fedora Marketing, LLC. The folks that bring you the terrific Comic-Con, GamerCon, and so much more. Thanks for listening.